in terms of what's happening right now is that we're seeing that TikTok is really rolling out the red carpet for advertisers. It's making major advances in ad targeting, its measurement capabilities, as well as creative tools. And it's clear that advertisers are just eating them up.
Hey gang, it's Monday, May 23rd. Jasmine, Zach, and listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily and eMarketer podcast made possible by mParticle. We can't keep doing these morning recordings. I'm dying. Ah, it's not even that early. That's what's tragic about it. Anyway, I'm Marcus. Today I'm joined by two people in way better shape than I am right now. We have with us a principal analyst covering social media. It's Jasmine Emberg.
Hey, Marcus. Hey, everyone.
Hello there. Also joined by one of our forecasting analysts, it's Zach Goldner.
Hey, Marcus. Thanks for having me.
Hello. Of course. Why, of course. Why, of course. Today's fact is too early. No, I have a real one for you. Honey is the only food that never goes bad. Huh. Like the only food. There's no other food. So honey's one of the only foods that really never expires. Because you've got some which kind of last for a long time. So technically sugar lasts forever, but the quality will start to deteriorate after 2 years. Salt never expires unless it's iodized. Instant coffee might be not as fresh, but it never expires. And it might get weaker over time, but hard alcohol never expires. But that's not the case with honey. If you give it 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, it still tastes the same way that it did when you bottled it up. According to National Geographic, they said that archaeologists found 3,000-year-old pots of perfectly edible honey when unearthing Egyptian tombs. Who ate it?
That was going to be my question. Who did they have as the taste tester?
They look over, they're like, Phil, what are you doing? He's like, nothing. Just, you've got it on your, what are you eating over there? Do some work for crying out loud. Who found that out? That doesn't count. We're not, that can't be real.
Fun lead in. Honey and TikTok, that was a big challenge on TikTok to eat frozen honey. And that went really viral a handful of months
back. Really?
Of just teenagers trying to freeze honey, finding any way they could and trying to eat it on video.
This was a thing?
It was a trend.
What's wrong with young people? And Phil. They're both crazy. Oh, Phil. Anyway, today's real topic. TikTok ad revenues. We're talking about TikTok today. We're talking about how much money have they been making from advertising? What's going on with their users? A couple of trends there. Finally, ways that advertisers are getting involved with the platform. We'll start with the money. TikTok's worldwide ad revenue will triple this year from just under $4 billion last year to nearly $12 billion this year, according to our brand new TikTok ad revenue forecast, Zach, that you worked on for us. In the US, the company will make $6 billion, which is also three times what they made in 2021. So things have been going very well. They tripled revenue worldwide and in the US as well. Zach, what some of the most interesting numbers for you in creating the TikTok ad revenues forecast?
Yeah, Marcus, what has me in awe is really TikTok's size at just such an early stage of the company's development. So TikTok was launched globally in 2016. It had only started showing ads about 3 years ago. So we talk about it reaching just about $12 billion in global ad revenue this year. Mm-hmm. To put that in perspective, this year, TikTok is going to surpass both Twitter and Snapchat and their combined ad revenues. If you think about Twitter and Snapchat, they've both been around longer than a decade. So TikTok is really coming up on the scene very quickly and becoming a big competitor. Now, if we look forward a couple of years into the future, in 2024, TikTok's going to reach over $20 billion in ad revenue. It's going to be neck and neck with YouTube. In terms of the U.S. ad revenue, TikTok is actually going to surpass that of YouTube. And from a worldwide outlook, it's going to be just below it, but soon surpass it.
Okay. Wow, that's staggering. Yeah, just to reiterate what Zach's saying here, they're already a big player. Twitter, I think, has 5.5 billion. Snapchat, about 5 billion. They've both been around more than 10 years. But TikTok has more worldwide ad revenue than both of those, Twitter and Snapchat, which is just remarkable. But it is still a small fish. Jeremy Goldman was pointing out that TikTok's share of the worldwide digital ad pie is just 2%. That's 15 times smaller than Google, over 11 times smaller than Meta. But TikTok is competing with some of those smaller fishes.
Now, if you were to take a look at TikTok and its Chinese counterpart, Douyin, which are both under the Chinese behemoth ByteDance, then makes up, right, I believe, roughly like 5 or 6% of the global ad revenue. So then becomes a much larger player.
Oh, wow.
And just one other note about China as well is one of the reasons why we have TikTok's ad revenues forecasted to grow so quickly in the years moving forward is because ByteDance, who does own Douyin, they're seeing less opportunities available in China. They had a big tech lockdown in 2020, so years before the slowdown that we're experiencing in the US right now, and they saw the US and other Western countries as big outlooks for opportunity for ad revenue growth. So they're really pushing forward these other markets, investing capital. And for those reasons, we're going to see growth continue to really explode in the coming years.
Mm-hmm. Jasmine, what jumps out to you?
Well, before I tell you what jumps out to me, do either of you know what TikTok's first ad was in the US? Zach, you might.
No.
I can't recall.
It was an app install ad for Grubhub, the food delivery service, and it ran sometime in January 2019. So to Zach's point, I think it's just really incredible how quickly TikTok has grown in just over 3 years. But, you know, the larger thing in terms of what's happening right now is that we're seeing that TikTok is really rolling out the red carpet for advertisers. It's making major advances in ad targeting, its measurement capabilities, as well as creative tools. And it's clear that advertisers are just eating them up. And what we're also seeing is that even though there's still somewhat of this idea that TikTok is really about making a big splash, meaning, you know, for upper funnel goals, it's starting to attract a lot more performance advertisers with a lot of the new tools that it's rolling out. And the next phase of growth that we're going to see for TikTok is really going to be further down the marketing funnel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I was finishing up my forecast, TikTok announced that they're starting to test out search advertising and adding that into their arsenal of ad products. So I think that's really good timing on their part. I'm not saying that we're coming up against a potential recession, but it's very possible. And when we do reach a recession, it'll be likely that companies will optimize their ad spending and they want to get the most out of their investment. So with that, performance advertising really focusing on lower funnel will be great for advertisers moving forward.
Yeah, that's a great point. And talking about moving forward, just want to look at their growth for a second. So they had over 300% growth in ad revenues in 2020, 175% the year after. They're going to be at 200% this year. Even next year, it's going to go down, but it's going down to 55. And then the following year to still over 30%. So incredible growth thus far, incredibly healthy growth going forwards. Final point here as well for me is they're really taking US budgets. TikTok's share of the US ad market is 2.5%, but they will have 11% of total US social network ad spending in 2 years' time. 11% of total social network ad spending in the US in 2 years' time. So what's going on with the users then? Well, TikTok was the top app by worldwide downloads in Q1 of this year, notes Lauren Forrestal of TechCrunch. The app previously had surpassed 3.5 billion all-time downloads in Q1 of last year, becoming just the fifth app and the only app not owned by Meta to achieve that 3.5 billion download milestone. Looking at overall US downloads, TikTok has been the top app every quarter since Q1 of last year. The last app to beat TikTok was, of course, Zoom in Q4 2020. But can it keep this growth up? Zach, we track TikTok users, so people have used the platform once a month. How many of those are there and what does growth look like going forward?
So this year, we forecast that there'll be 814 million global TikTok users that use it once a month.
Wow. 814 million.
814.
Wow.
Big number. When looking at the US market, it's at 94.1 million, which is the largest market of those that we covered. And then if we look forward to 2025, we're expecting it to surpass 1 billion users. So TikTok is no longer niche. It has the third largest audience of any social network in the world and in the US. And what's really important to clarify is that TikTok's audience isn't any longer just a bunch of Gen Zers and preteens. What we're seeing now is that even though it does skew towards a younger demo, it's really expanding towards all audiences. Looking at our last social network forecast, we're seeing that just a fifth of TikTok's users are under the age of 18. Which is still really significant. When comparing it to a couple other social networks like Facebook or Pinterest, both of those are under 10% being under the age of 18. Facebook is just like 5.8%. So got a lot of Facebook users that are over the age of 40. But this is important because advertisers need to understand that with this younger skewing demo, there are a lot of limitations, but also ways that they can really capitalize on this young audience. But TikTok itself, they don't allow advertising on certain categories like alcohol, weight loss products, things that could be a little bit risky towards teens or youth. They don't allow gambling and other hot topic areas like political advertising, which is going to be a really big front in 2022 and moving forward.
So you mentioned that the third, so it goes Facebook, Instagram, and then TikTok in terms of social platforms.
That's correct. Yeah.
Right. Which is, it's still so hard, Jasmine, to think of them as the third biggest. Part of the reason for me is because they do have a young audience. It's not as young as maybe some people think, but it's still, I mean, we have it, TikTok users, 70% of TikTok users are younger than 34. And if you look at the penetration of some of those younger folks, 12 to 24 year olds who use TikTok, 70% of 12 to 24 year olds using TikTok. Over half of the 25 to 34 year old people. It's just come out of nowhere, Jasmine. It's so hard to wrap your head around thinking that it's such a big player so soon. What jumps out to you when you think about the users at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think Zach is absolutely right. The biggest thing to note is that TikTok really just isn't for teens anymore. Yes, it is their core user base, but there are so many other generations that are using the platform. And it's these original teens that have really brought along their older siblings or relatives to the platform. And once they're there, I don't know how much time you spend on TikTok, but I spend a lot and call it research.
How much exactly?
Too much for me to admit on this podcast.
Okay.
I need a number. But once you're there, it's addicting. I mean, there was this amazing article from The Information that really compared TikTok to the perfect slot machine. And I really can't think of a better example. And the comparison really does hold. I mean, in our latest forecast for time spent with media, we have TikTok and YouTube right on par with each other.
Wow. Wow, that is staggering.
46 minutes of time a day.
Okay.
Which in comparison, TikTok, YouTube, both neck and neck. It's 11 minutes higher than the next highest social network or social media group, which would be Twitter. So it's really outstanding. And that's among users, just to clarify, time to spend.
Right. For me, the one thing that jumped out, there was a study by Piper Sandler saying TikTok is currently beating Snapchat as US teens' favorite social media app, Facebook and Twitter way behind. They said that 33% of folks said TikTok was their favorite social app. This is of teens beating Snapchat with 31% for the first time ever. However, they did note that Instagram still leads on engagement, 89% of people saying they used it at least once a month. Snapchat, 84%, TikTok, 80%. Let's talk about advertisers finally, folks. The VP of media at Zoomed, Yair Yaskarovich, recently wrote a piece in Adweek saying that marketers can't just create a video and hope that it will go viral on TikTok. He says, well, they can, but I've never seen that work. Instead, a best practice on TikTok is to engage with micro-influencer creators and have them create the video for marketers, relying on micro-influencers, and their authentic voice is what makes a marketing campaign successful. So that's one way he thinks works for advertisers on TikTok. But Jasmine, what in your opinion are some of the most interesting ways advertisers are engaging on the platform?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree with that. I think that is one way that brands will be successful in advertising on TikTok. But most advertisers that are really doing well on TikTok right now are doing a couple of things right. And the first is that they are social listening. And the only way to know what works on TikTok is to actually spend time on TikTok. And whether that's through an in-house team or working with a third-party social listening tool, just staying on top of what's trending as well as what's being said about your brand or your industry or anything else that's related to your product really is key. And then to the point that you just made, Marcus, another thing that they're doing really well is that they're not making traditional ads. They're amplifying creator content or even user-generated content as paid media, or working directly with creators, whether that's a micro-influencer or a influencer with more followings, to develop their ad creative. And that's a really huge shift in thinking for a lot of social advertisers. But the third and the most important thing that I want to point out is that they're not using paid advertising as an entry point into the platform. Instead, they're looking at building a cohesive strategy on TikTok that includes influencer marketing, includes organic marketing, and then using paid ads to really build on those existing trends and content on TikTok.
All right, it's time now for the halftime report. Jasmine, we'll start with you. Your big takeaway from the first half.
So my big takeaway is that we're at the very beginning. TikTok's ad business is just over 3 years old, and there is so much more potential for growth to come.
Zach, how about you? What's your big takeaway?
Yeah, I think it's really important to just put in perspective TikTok's size compared to its competitors. As we mentioned, this year it's going to surpass both Twitter and Snapchat. A huge milestone. It'll surpass Microsoft and worldwide revenues in the next couple of years, and it'll be neck and neck with YouTube. So it's going into the behemoths, and TikTok will be a player to compete with for years to come.
Very good. Well, the TikTok numbers for revenue are brand new. Zach worked on those. And Jasmine, you put together the TikTok ad report, which dropped today.
Yep, today.
Very nice. So if you're a pro subscriber, go check out the report, TikTok ad revenues, and also the forecast that Zach worked on. All right, before the ad break, it's time for our surprise question giveaway. Oh, yes, it is. So if you email the correct answer to this question to podcast@emarketer.com, and if you send us a screenshot of your review of this podcast, you win a free mug. That's right. I actually have one here. I can show to prove to the listeners. I'll show it to Zach and Jasmine, and let's see what their reaction is. This is the new mug.
That is a pretty mug. Whoever's great. Lucky enough to get this mug, you're in luck.
Is it red on the inside?
Thanks, Zach. I could use a bit more enthusiasm from you, Zach. It is red on the inside, yeah.
It's very cool, Marcus.
Thank you. That's better, Jasmine. Come on, Zach. I'm trying to sell this
thing. I'm saying it's a great looking mug right now.
That is a wonderful mug, Marcus. Okay, yeah, that's the mug we have. That's about the level of enthusiasm which is warranted. But that's the free mug we have.
Can I submit my review, Marcus?
Not anymore, no. No, not after what just happened. So a correct answer and a review equals a free mug. The question is, which two US states border the most other states? Zach, don't write this down, okay? I don't want to see you submitting anything. Which two US states border the most other states? Send your answer and a screenshot of your review to podcast@emarketer.com. I'll be honest, we didn't get a ton of responses last time, okay? So if you respond, there's a massive chance you'll get the mug. So don't sit there thinking, oh, there's going to be thousands of people. No, there won't be. There'll be not many at all. So if you just do this, you'll probably get the mugs. You'll be going up against like one other person.
Zach, probably.
Zach, you'll be going up against Zach.
Go against my alibi. Submit. I'm not going to put down my name, but you want that mug.
If I see you with one of these mugs, Zach, please submit so Zach doesn't win this thing. Anyway, that's all we've got time for the lead. It's time now for In Other News. But first, a quick word from our sponsor, mParticle. At the end of the day, your customer has to be at the center of everything you do. This starts with the right customer data strategy, as well as the right foundation to solve the challenges that typically inhibit success, such as data quality, data governance, and connectivity. mParticle is your real-time customer data infrastructure that helps you accelerate your data strategy by cleansing, visualizing, and integrating your customer data from anywhere to anywhere. Ultimately, better data leads to better decisions, better customer experiences, and better outcomes. See why the best brands choose mParticle. Go to www.mParticle.com. All right, folks, we're back today in other news. Twitter Shops lets you showcase more products, and Instagram will start implementing NFTs. Story one. In March, Twitter Shops launched a beta where it started letting sellers showcase more products, a virtual storefront, if you will, on their profiles for customers to browse, writes Haim Gartenberg of The Verge. You get links out to the company's website to actually buy the things. But Jasmine, the best social commerce experience thus far has to have been blank.
Still to be determined. We use social commerce as this umbrella term for a ton of different types of experiences. And each of the social platforms really has their own approach to it. If you look at Snapchat, it's AR. Instagram and Facebook are really about, you know, a seamless checkout experience as well as a wide variety of products. Then you've got TikTok, which is really algorithmic based and trending content. We'll see. It's actually something that we are starting to investigate this summer in the Social Commerce Digital Trust Report. So maybe I'll have an answer for you then.
Very nice. We'll check back. Zach, for you, the best social commerce experience thus far has to have been blank.
Those involving the use of influencers. I think that influencers and brand ambassadors have been a revelation for the social industry. And I think one of our last four guests had roughly 3/4 of marketers using influencer marketing. And I think the reason for that being really successful is it's digitally native and it's really unobtrusive. And it's word of mouth is the strongest form of marketing. It gives credibility. So it's not just your LeBron James, Kim Kardashians of the world, but micro influencers selling products. And what Instagram has done really well is allowed these influencers to be able to tag products so a consumer can buy it on the spot from that website.
Story two, Instagram will start implementing non-fungible tokens or NFTs with an exclusive group of creators in the US as of recently, notes Briefing's director Jeremy Goldman. He notes that creators who are participants in the test can share NFTs they have developed or bought in their feeds, stories, or direct messages. There are no costs related to uploading or sharing a digital collectible on the social media app. David Cohen of Adweek also notes that Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg has added that similar functionality will soon come to Facebook, along with augmented reality NFTs on Instagram stories via Spark AR. But Zach, the takeaway of NFTs being able to be shared on Instagram for you is blank.
A play to please content creators. So I'm very conflicted with this. From a professional standpoint, I think that allowing people to show off their NFTs is a way for these companies to allow people to be unique in whatever ways they can. People like to express themselves with fashion, their voice, or other physical items to show off. But in the end, I think this will be another big revenue outlet. It will be a way for content creators to join in with the discussion, to show off what NFTs they have, another way to provide more revenue streams for artists and designers that might be creating these NFTs to be able to profit off of some of their design work. However, I do think that a lot of these revenue outlets are years down the line, whenever the metaverse really comes into fruition. I think there'll be a lot more opportunities there with large corporations and other groups that are really able to profit off of it. However, from a personal perspective, I think it's just another way to flaunt off what you have and the $100,000 that you may have spent on a Bored Ape. Or I think that even the most expensive NFT ape was a $2.6 million. So just another way for people to show off their money.
Zach made an excellent case then was like, all that said, a waste of time. Jasmine, for you, the takeaway of NFTs being able to be shared on Instagram is blank.
Look, the bottom line is that Instagram needs creators in order to keep up usage and engagement, and it knows it. So it's pulling out all the stops to keep creators on its platform and to attract new ones. But I think Adam Mosseri said it best in the video where he announced this. This is probably really only going to appeal to a subset of creators, not to all.
Yeah, Instagram's chief is probably correct. That's all we got time for this episode. Thank you so much to my guests. Thank you to Jasmine.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, everybody.
Even though she plays Uno the wrong way. Thank you to Zach.
Thanks, Marcus.
Pick up three cards and you can't end on a special.
Zach, how do you play Uno? It makes it more challenging.
It sounds horrible. Zach, what are your rules?
I do that same pick three up.
Oh my goodness.
So it sounds like, Marcus, you play Uno the wrong
way. One of us have been doing it the wrong way, Marcus.
Yeah, it's probably me. Thank you to Victoria, who edits the show and probably plays the right way. And thanks to everyone listening in. We'll see you tomorrow for the Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast made possible by mParticle. I'm going to go read the rules of Uno now. I can't, this whole time I've been playing it the wrong way.
All your wins.
But that's kind of the beauty of Uno, though. There is no wrong or right way.
That's true. Thank you. I needed that, Jasmine. Thanks. Zach's like, so every diplomatic win you've ever had is void.